took the nails for me.
This is Glorious Day, a program that grew from a vision.
A vision to support our brother and sister Christians.
And those who are still seeking Jesus.
By applying God's word to the everyday concerns and challenges that we all face today.
We are two local pastors who love Jesus.
And his people.
And he wants us to strengthen his disciples.
To get stronger, because God's promised revival is on the way.
Well, greetings. This is Pastor David. I'm with my brother,
Pastor Barry.
Yes, and this is Glorious Day. And we are looking forward to that glorious day when Jesus returns. I hope you are too.
Mm-hmm.
And until then, we have a job, Barry and I. Whoops, and that's God calling Barry right now on his,
Sorry
phone.
About that.
There we go. It happens, you know. In fact, I haven't turned my phone off yet. But tonight's theme is knowing Jesus means being transformed into kingdom citizens. And the heart and soul of that is the transformation process begins when you receive Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior.
Amen.
And it continues throughout your whole life. And it's important because we don't start out as being citizens of the kingdom of God. But when we receive Christ and our Savior and we become baptized, all of that process through the work of the Spirit brings us into kingdom citizenry. And that means we become different people over time. Some in the beginning, there's a great difference. But then there's a whole lifetime of God changing and bringing, you know, we hit stuff, that old stuff we've been carrying around with us that Jesus says that doesn't fit.
Well, it's a living thing. You're evolving.
You're right. It's total. Well, discipleship is an ongoing process, mm-hmm. and that involves that development,
right,
in the spirit. You know, for years and years and years, at the end of the day, when I do my night prayers, I always end with, Lord, continue to transform me into becoming the man you intended me to be before I was born.
Mm, that's a powerful prayer.
It is, but it's also risky. I mean, you have to submit to God. Scriptures are clear. The Old and New Testament is the relationship with God is one of we submit to him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because he is God. He's perfect. We're on the opposite end of that spectrum. We need God. We need his perfection, his perfect love, his perfect grace. And in fact, it's all of that that will continue to sustain the transformation process. And there's a scripture that, there's so many actually. I mean, we could probably have 20 hours of reading scripture on transformation alone.
We'll just read the Bible front to back for you all.
There you go. Yeah, so get some popcorn and some Coke. We're going to be here a while. No, we only have 20 some minutes. But Barry's going to read from Romans chapter 12, verse 2.
Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. The word of the Lord.
Amen. It is the word of the Lord. And so, and I love the way he puts this, because conform to the world is juxtaposed with transformation.
Right.
So they're actually equal opposites. So they're opposites, not equal opposites, but they... Either you are conformed to this world, which you were before you met Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That was the only world you knew.
That's right. Running through the world completely dependent on our own great strength.
Yes.
And intelligence.
And our own wisdom.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh. Ooh.
That and a cup of a quarter. No, it used to be a quarter will buy you a cup of coffee. That and $5 will buy you a cup of coffee.
And that's not even a cappuccino.
No,
that's just like a El Cheapo Grande coffee at Starbucks or something. Yeah. Well, what? Know, and you had more earlier on. You were sharing some thoughts. Well, so bring them up to us right now.
I like what he's saying here, because if you're not transformed, have you actually fully given your heart to Christ?
Yeah.
If you haven't been changed, you may still be on the outside looking in to Christendom. You know what I mean? It drives me a little crazy when I hear my brothers and sisters, you know, of the body of Christ, who will suddenly come up with a dirty joke at work or something that's just not something a Christian would do.
Yeah.
Now all the secular folks are sitting around yucking it up. That's great. But, you know, in a quiet moment, they'll think, you know, maybe there is no difference between a secular society and a Christian society.
Yeah.
And that's not healthy.
It's not.
It's unhealthy. And there are people in the world who are watching all of us, all of you out there who make a statement that you're a Christ follower. They're watching you to see what you're going through and how you handle things as a child of God, as a Christian, versus the way the world would handle it. And if you haven't been transformed and you're still peddling as fast as you can with your own strength and making your own decisions based on your wisdom, what have you done? You kind of let them down out there.
Yeah.
Because they'll go to someone else saying, well, I was thinking about becoming a Christian, but that guy is, he's not acting what I thought a Christian should or would be.
Right, and you're setting a bad example. It's a poor witness.
It's a poor witness, and you just keep in mind that we're all put up to bat here and there for Christ to bring people to the kingdom. And now, unless you can 100% jump in both feet as a Christian and make the decisions you should make by the will of God, right here, David, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God.
Yes.
And what is good and acceptable and perfect. That tells me, hey, Barry, take a couple of seconds before you open your mouth.
Yeah.
And think about what you're going to say or do, because it's a check in your spirit before you make certain decisions or statements.
Yeah.
You have to be fully conscious. And sometimes we get tired and drift through life trotting along in a zombie state. I don't feel the same as I did last Sunday at church. It's Wednesday, and I'm pooping out here, spiritually pooped out.
And that sounds a lot to me. I mean, excuse me. In the early days of my walk with Christ, I believe like many new Christians, because we're all a work in progress, and we hope that, you know, after several decades, you know, you could look back on your life and see the difference. See that you're much more focused on Christ, that people will say, you know, I see Jesus in your life, your ministry, the things you do and say. But early on, and I will own this, I'm going to say my own story, but I want to hear from you, too, a personal witness to this, because in the early days, I enjoyed, you know, I really celebrated my coming to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when he spoke to me and said, you know, I'm real, Bible is real, you know, and we, you know, all of that led to our repentance and receiving him as Lord and Savior. And it was a great journey. But there was fears. I had fears that, because I saw how the world treated Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was saying, I've got to find a way of being a Christian without getting, you know, sniped at.
Oh.
So I wanted to be relevant. That's the word, relevant.
Relevant, but you're going to be a stealthy Christian.
You're right.
He's not appearing on the radar as a Christian, but he says he is.
Right. This is exactly what I had purported to do.
Mm.
And I did that to one degree or another for several years until the Lord got my attention and showed me that, you know, yeah, I was saved, but I wasn't helping anybody else get there.
Ah, okay.
I was hiding behind a false image, you know, of who I was in Christ. I would avoid where there would be an opportunity to speak the truth in love, if you will, which is Ephesians 4:14. And I would not do it because I would say, well, you know, a hot button issue, I think I know where that person is and it's going to generate a lot of negativity toward me, and so I'd run away.
So you wanted to be liked and loved?
Yes.
And accepted?
Yeah, and knowing my family background, mm-hmm. you know, that was the whole issue of self-esteem was at that point. God was building that up, but at that point I brought into him a kind of a you know, a beaten up, you know, spirit. I mean, from all of that stuff. But so when I understand where that's coming from, but I do believe a lot of people, many people hearing us right now, may be in the same place.
Yeah. It requires courage to step out in faith when God calls you, like I said, up to bat.
Yeah.
And then we start to make excuses. Well, I'm not a preacher. I'm not a theologian. I don't have the right words. What if I mess this up and they don't accept Christ and it's all my fault? And that goes on and on and on. We know who's speaking to their heart when this goes on. Same old story, you know. How could you preach the gospel? I know what you did. And all kinds of attacks. I saw something at work. I'm a chaplain in the nursing homes. And I saw a wonderful 89-year-old lady witnessing to another resident who picked on her for going to worship service in the center. What are you going in there for? You're going to miss bingo. What are you going in there for? And she finally sat face-to-face with them and witnessed her lifelong Christian walk, but what Christ has done for her and for her family. How was it received? Well, this person probably wasn't going to be her best friend that day because she was loud. And she had a very strong voice of authority. Yeah. I think she used to be a school teacher. In fact, I know she used to be a school teacher. So she was speaking to this man like he was kept after class. But I will say this, a week later, I see him wheeling his wheelchair into church service and chatting it up with her in the corner. That had to have been tough for her. If you think about that generation, too, wasn't that long ago where women were still rather subservient?
Yes, that's true.
Quiet little ladies, and they didn't stand up to men and do all this stuff. And she, hands on her hips, told them who Jesus was and that what's going to happen to him without Christ. And I was so proud of her. David, I was teasing her. I said, next week, you're preaching. But if an 89-year-old woman can do it, my friends, you're driving along thinking, yeah, there's a guy at work. I probably need to talk Jesus with him.
Yeah.
He's hurting, and I could see it. But then there's that but.
Yeah.
But you know, when you follow through and you actually do it, you may think you stumble through this presentation of Christ with all kinds of mistakes and grammatical errors and you name it, but if the Holy Spirit's working through you, that is not what it's going to come across as.
Exactly.
Because the Holy Spirit knows their heart better than anybody can imagine.
And if you're...
They know what needs to be said.
Excuse me. If your mind has been renewed by the Spirit and you're in that transformation process, what the Scripture tells us, and I know we know it's true, is that discernment of the will of God occurs as we pray and seek the Spirit's guidance. As we do that, we know what's right. We know what God wants us to do. And frankly, there's no Christian that ever had, excuse me, I'm not dying, folks. My goodness, I'll try to edit this out, maybe, or maybe not. I'm recovering from an upper respiratory infection. And I'm on the other good side, but the point I wanted to make is that all Christians are called to share their faith.
They are, not to sit on their hands in their favorite seat in the church, their, you know, their pew. That's my pew over there. It's got my name on it. But I would also say this, that God is not asking you to stand up and pontificate.
Yeah.
You know, to go wax so eloquently that people say, gee whiz, that guy must be a famous writer or something. You know, that's not the expectation. You know, young teenagers have told me they'd rather watch a sermon than hear a sermon anyway.
Yeah.
And there was a lot that they said in that one sentence. I'd rather watch than hear. Because they're looking for someone who's walking the walk. They're looking for someone who, is not putting on airs and has pretense. They'll spot that a mile away.
Yeah. Today's generation.
They pick it up right away.
Oh, man. And there's a lot of older people that do, too. It's more people want... I talked earlier about wanting to be relevant.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a worldly sense of relevance, which is what I was playing with, which was to be relevant in order to avoid conflict, by actually what that relevance was really agreeing with people when I could agree with them and avoiding disagreeing with them when I couldn't,
That's really hard to do when you actually analyze what you just said. It's almost like you need a compromise message, maybe.
Yeah. That's what it was.
Because if you compromise it and take the rough edges off, ain't nobody going to be upset. It's going to be palatable. It's going to be something that they could say, well, that sounds reasonable. But you know, when you look at your Bibles, there's no gray areas.
It's, none.
It's very strong in the right and the wrong, the good and the bad. And if you're preaching a message that's, sweet to the ears, tickles the ears, and we sometimes find ourselves doing that. The truth is, we should be preaching judgment. We should be preaching accountability.
Yes.
We should be preaching the fact that each and every one of us, when we die, will meet God.
And along with that is the love of God, which sweetens the pie. That you're presenting some of those things have a bitter taste. People who are afraid of giving their lives to Christ, afraid of God taking over. And it's a very basic human fear of losing control. Comes, and it, frankly, everybody learns that they're the center of the universe and in control of everybody else taking care of them when they're a baby. That is a common thing. Babies have to, and they have to do it. They can't just jump out of the womb, and say, well, I'm just going to get in the car and drive around the block. And
I got to go to work.
It was several years where they need a lot of nourishing and nurturing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a slow but steady process as we all grow up into adulthood to give or to let go of the idea that we're in the center of the universe and we need to be in control.
It's hard. It's hard to give away control because as men... we have to control situations. We come home from work and maybe our wife will say, I can't get the air conditioner to work, can't get the washer and dryer to do the, whatever. And you're expected to fix things, control things, and that's the guy's role, and that's what we think. Yeah. But and that's okay with a washing machine. That's okay with a dishwasher. It's not okay with God.
Definitely not.
Yeah. No.
So I think the thing we want people to think about, pray about, is to ask yourself and really to ask God to join you in this process of discovering to what degree you have submitted to God, to what degree you're being willing to be transformed.
That's interesting you
and
say.
And what you're holding back.
Right. To what degree do we go all in on this? Or are we going to hold on to some things? I was telling David years ago when I was ordained, here I am an ordained person, a minister, pastor, what you will, and yet I still had the other foot in the healthcare world. So I was working in healthcare sales during the week and then working as a preacher in the weekends. And I felt at odds. I didn't feel like I was 100% committed. And that's a strange feeling because you want to honor God. You want to do the things that he's asking you to do, and yet you have a job doing something completely different. I just felt like I was watered down.
Yeah.
One foot in one world, one foot in the other.
And while there's a lot of new Christians that are very zealous in presenting the gospel, and I've known them, I mean, and I'm very impressed with them that from day one, they they completely immerse themselves in the Word of God and listen to wise Christians as they were discipled in their home churches and everything. Uh-huh. But for that one person, there's a lot of folks, I'm going to say like me, that are in the early days, I was kind of bumbling around dealing with fear and concerns. And I think as I reflected on that, and as the Lord was so gracious to tell me, mm-hmm. what I had not been thinking of is that I wasn't listening to Him.
Ah, okay.
I was not praying. My prayers were rote, you know. And, you know, I did have some, obviously a lot of extemporaneous praying goes on. But I didn't stop, and I think that I didn't create an environment where I would just start by saying, Lord Jesus, I'm here for a while. I want to hear you, which is one of the prayer, you know, it's one of the prayers we offer to develop and build that intimacy with God.
Well, I was telling my wife one time, it was in my prayer closet. I get this, well, when are you coming out? I don't hear anything. She thought I was finished. And really, for every 5 minutes that we're talking, we need to listen for 5 minutes. It's called a conversation.
Yeah.
And some of the prayers in my life where I felt like I was intimately connected didn't have words. Just praying in the deep end of the pool, I guess you'd call it, and the basking in the glory of God. And sometimes you can't find the words.
You know? Yeah, and that's
and
when
he understands that.
The Spirit prays for us, and we can't. That's scriptural, and boy, isn't that true.
But folks, you know, out there, if you're in a situation where maybe you go to church and you're feeling like maybe the prayers in the church, there's not enough prayer in the church. And that sounds funny, doesn't it, that a church wouldn't have enough praying going on? But sometimes churches get busy and they get a little sidetracked. Not to say that, you know, you should change churches.
No.
But from my little prayer group at work, I get a hug, a hello, and then we jump in. And everybody offers up with what's on their hearts. And then we hold hands and we just wait for the Lord to speak. Kind of like those Quakers do up there in Pennsylvania, right?
Yeah.
Well, they wait for the Holy Spirit to shake them up.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
We need to do it more and more. I think for men, I'll speak for men because I've been one most of my life.
Most of your life.
Hey, a little, that's just a little. No, I've been a male all my life, but a man, you know, grow into manhood in your late teens. But I think that I've had to do a lot of repenting from those early years, you know. But I think that applies to me.
Right.
That whole attitude that I had, that it was wrong, and God worked with me. See, this is the thing. God knows who He's got. God knows who He's working with. And in my case, He knew I had a lot of
stuff. Oh, you have stuff too. I have stuff.
Yeah.
And I learned early on in service to daily dump my stuff at the foot of the cross.
Yeah.
Because if I didn't do it daily, it started to build up. And my soul began to look like a beat-down old thrift store with all kinds of junk in the corners, you know?
Yeah, that's a great image. That's exactly how I would have described my, you know, the stuff that...
And I didn't say antique store. I'm talking thrift store.
Right, right, right.
This stuff we know isn't worth that much, yet we hold on to it.
We do, and it gets in the way.
That's right.
And all of that affects negatively the transforming process, because let's be honest, let's understand that God's basic nature is love, and His kind of love will not force us to do anything, even though it's right.
Mm-hmm.
If we resist with enough effort on our part, God will not force us, because on the other side, if He did, we'd simply be robots.
Right,
that He would program
to serve, and
and that He doesn't want that. He wants us to willingly receive him and what he has to offer us. That's and if so that why some people have the total reverse view, and that's why they're afraid. Oh God, he's going to come in my life. He's going to change me. I won't recognize myself at all, and I won't have any fun.
And I'll lose all my friends. My family will giggle behind my back.
Yeah, well,
they we still do that with me.
We can, yeah, some of mine do too. That's just family, I guess. Yeah. You know, but the truth is, you know, we're not going to tell you that it's all sweetness and light from your family and your friends. Mm-hmm. If they're not saved, or the ones that aren't saved, and you become saved, and you know you're going to live that life where you're proclaiming Christ, some are going to turn away from you. Some will stick with you, but they really won't know what to do with you. And it's then you, the new you in Christ, the one that's being transformed, who hopefully is listening to the God and saying, all right, God, what do I do? What's your will for these people? You know, how do I explain? Or and you know, mainly you don't explain anything. You just live your life authentically.
Right.
In the, that transformed life. And you tell people, you know, that you respond to them out of who you have become in Christ. And, you know, some different things. I'll never forget my one of the pastors that, in fact, he was the one that got me onto seminary, ultimately. Okay. And he was a great pastor and had a very insightful way of looking at scripture and finding stories that were just perfect. And one of the stories he would tell is talking of when the theme of, now he didn't use this story, I mean, he used a lot of other stories, but he, I've heard this more than once, that he had a friend who had met Jesus and had given his life to Christ, and so he was living that transformed life. And he was a trucker, and so obviously truckers drive trucks, and trucks need tires. And this, as the story goes, he had, it was time, of course they get recaps,
right,
which are cheaper, you know. And so he was at this place buying recaps. And as it turned out, and he'd been there before, but this was his first time as a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And in the past, apparently the owner of this place would often acquire stolen goods.
Really? Okay.
And so when he came in to have his truck, you know, of course, his, there's six tires on the tractor, I believe. One, two, three, four, five. No, four, ten. What do I know? I'm not a trucker. But anyway, a lot of tires. And so he came in to have them all replaced, and the guy said, hey, I've got something, some tires in the back that I just got, and I'll give them to you at a really good price, because they were stolen. Mm. He didn't pay anything for them. And this time, the guy said, no. No, I'm a Christian now. You know, I can't buy stolen goods.
Very good.
And, you know, it created a situation with the guy. I guess he wasn't going to go back there to buy tires. Just, you know, the bottom line. But it reminded me, you know, of the little, it seems like a little thing. And when we are transformed and we talk to people about that.
Right.
That we have to be honest with people. But you know what? Our time is up. And I hate to
It's really
say
up,
that.
Up?
It's up, up, up.
Uh-oh.
So we'll be that back next week. And again, I apologize for all my coughing, but I am well. I'm not dying. And I think we just have to say...
God bless you all.
And good night.
And good night. Join us again next Sunday at 5:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m.
Diving deep with us into God's holy word.
That we might all be encouraged, strengthened, edified.
And receive renewed hope that the Lord is on the move.
And his perfect plan is unfolding in our time.
Though I feel afraid, territory.